Good morning, Revive.
Morning.
I love this. I think maybe Kevin or Becky said it, or maybe it's like a family reunion, right? You're seeing people, long-lost cousins, and you haven't seen forever. I hope that as you're here this morning, you feel what I'm feeling. The presence of the Holy Spirit is in this place. You know, we're here on Pentecost Sunday, where in the Acts, like John just read, the Holy Spirit descended like tongues of fire. I wish I knew what that was like. Descended like tongues of fire and rested on each of them, and they prophesied as they were able. Let's have that happen today. If that happens, I'm just sitting down. I don't know what to do at that point. Anyway, I'm so excited. My name is Paul Gartley. I'm the lead pastor here at Revive. And if you're a guest with us, it isn't quite like this all the time, but it might be similar. And if you're from another campus, welcome. If we haven't met before, hi. I just love that we're here today. And as we're in the fourth week of Heart Check, where we're continuing our study of the life of Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, and how God called him. This is such a beautiful story. Don't miss this. God called Nehemiah to do extraordinary things that on his own, Nehemiah was unable to accomplish. Do you understand that? If he had stepped out on his own without consulting and seeking and praying to God, he would have never accomplished what the Lord set before him. It's just the way it is. But in this story, in the story of Nehemiah, as we saw in week one, when Nehemiah heard that the walls of Jerusalem were in ruin, he ran right out and fixed them, right? No. He fell on his face and he prayed and he fasted and he sought the Lord. In the face of obstacles, in the face, as we'll see, in the face of everything that was happening in Nehemiah's world, the first thing he did was to fast and pray, to seek the Lord, to seek his guidance. I think there's a lesson, a timeless lesson in that story alone that we should all embrace, that when we are faced with things that are beyond ourselves, the first thing we should do is pray. And I'll tell you what, I'll be honest, I'm not always good at this. In fact, this is so funny, my wife is sitting here, this is confession time. Something happened this week and I was all jazzed up. She said, you know, shouldn't you take your own words and pray first? I was like, no. But she was right. When faced with opposition or challenges or an opportunity from God, the first thing we are to do is stop and pray. And that's why we had a week-long prayer vigil. That's why we filled just about all of the time slots over 8 days, 1-hour time slots over 8 days. They were virtually filled. And as a church, we took Nehemiah's example and we prayed. And then the second week, one of my good friends, Maher El-Haj, was here from Youth for Christ Lebanon. And I'll tell you what, he is great, isn't he? Maher painted a picture of what life is like in Lebanon in the face of economic disaster, in the face of a dysfunctional government. In fact, they really don't actually have a fully functioning government. In the face of an explosion that destroyed a good portion of Beirut, he has decided to stay in the face of all this opposition. You know what I love about Maher's story? He has had multiple job opportunities around the globe to go and run Arab churches, to do this, that, and the other thing. And you know what he has said? My people need me in Lebanon. I'm not going anywhere. He's been moved by God. He's been moved by the Holy Spirit. And I think the lesson from week two is that we need to move to go to the difficult places, to not stay necessarily where it's comfortable or we feel we have everything taken care of. Maher's goal is for every young person in this country to hear and respond to the gospel. That's Lebanese youth. It's the despised, hold that word, despised Syrian refugees who the Lebanese hate for various reasons. Maher has decided to minister to those kids too, even though the Christians in his country ridicule him for doing so. Sound familiar? He stands in the face of opposition because the Lord has called him to do a good work, and he continues to do it. If you get nothing else out of Heart Check, let his example be an inspiration to you. When things get hard, you keep going. And that was sort of the theme of last week, too. We have to move past obstacles. If you haven't experienced this already, and maybe you will face obstacles in your faith. I guarantee it. In fact, the scripture tells you that you will face obstacles in your faith. It will not be an easy journey, but what do you do when they come? Do you turn and walk the other way and say, "Forget it, God, that's too hard"? Or do you do what Nehemiah did? He prayed. He's a man of prayer. He kept at it. He didn't stop. And he banded together with others in his community to see the work accomplished. In the face of opposition, he kept at it. And as I look at our partner ministries that are listed in the moved booklet for Heart Check, that's exactly what all of them do. In the face of obstacles, in the face of persecution, in the face of the enemy, just plain not wanting them to do the things they're doing, they stand firm. They keep going. They keep putting one foot in front of the other. They keep taking the next right step. And as they do, God gets the glory. So as we pick up Nehemiah's story today, he has completed the wall. It is completed. They built the whole wall in less than 2 months, in 52 days. The entire wall around Jerusalem in 52 days, which was a miracle. And again, if Nehemiah had tried to do that on his own, he would have failed miserably. But then we see in chapter 6, verse 16, what that meant to the surrounding areas. "When all our enemies heard about this," Nehemiah wrote, "all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence." Why? "Because they realized that the work had been done with the help of our God." Don't miss this. This is important. God showed up and he helped Nehemiah and the Israelites to build the wall, and all the people, Sanballat and Tobiah and all the others who were hurling insults, saw it and said, "Oh no, we're not messing with them. Their God is too powerful." Isn't that good news? And you know what's so exciting about that? That same God that led Nehemiah to build the wall is the same God who wants you to come before him with your struggles, your challenges, and the things in your life. And he will give you the strength to accomplish what he has called you to accomplish. You are not alone. Sometimes we think in this world, it's all up to me. I have to do it on myself. That is a lie. God is right there by your side. The people in Nehemiah's day couldn't help but imagine or say that this was a movement of God. When God moves, enemies shudder. When the God of the universe does something, the opposition that's looking on from afar shudders because they realize they have no strength, no power when our God is in the equation. We should all rejoice at that fact. So what now? Is Nehemiah's work over? The wall is built. The enemies are scared. Is his time done? Does he fall off the pages of Scripture at this point? Not exactly, because his work wasn't quite done yet. It was mostly done. I have to do it. Never mind. I was going to make a Monty Python joke, but some of you wouldn't get it. After the wall had been rebuilt, I had set the doors in place, the gatekeepers, the musicians, and the Levites were appointed. After the wall was finished, Nehemiah went to the people and said, "The work is not yet complete. The walls may be built, we may have safety from the walls, but Nehemiah saw it as a priority to rebuild the society, to rebuild the people, to invest in them to the point where they once again walked firmly, knowing that God was walking with them. He had a strategy to rebuild the society, the Jewish society, and the lives of the people who he ministered to. And you know what? As I reflect on Heart Check, that's a lot like our partner ministries. You know, I said this last week, and I'll say it again with everybody here. 3 Saturdays ago, now my wife and I had dinner with Jeff and Julie Palmer. Julie runs PATH, People Against Trafficking Humans. And as my wife and I, as Holly sat across the table from Julie and Jeff, my jaw dropped on the table at the things Julie sees every day as they help rescue people from human trafficking. her reality is unbelievable. It's unlike most of ours as she steps into that place because she's committed to rebuilding the lives of those women who have totally been destroyed. That's why we're supporting PATH. I think often of 8 Days of Hope, and as there's storms popping up and floods all over our country, if you haven't noticed, 8 Days of Hope steps into that place in disaster relief, and they go and minister and rebuild and help reestablish people who have lost everything. They help rebuild societies and rebuild lives just like Nehemiah. I'm also drawn to 716 Ministries as they have their work readiness program, and they train people in job skills who normally wouldn't have them so that they can get jobs, so they can find gainful employment and support their families. That's three of our local partners, and what they're doing, they're rebuilding lives and communities just like Nehemiah did. Or on a global scale, I already mentioned YFC Lebanon, who builds the lives of teenagers who have been destroyed by war and economic disaster and all that happens in Lebanon. I can't help but think of Jericho Road Community Health Center over in Goma, Congo. Have you ever been to Goma? I've been there. I've seen the desperation in people's faces, the need for health care, the need for women to have a safe place to deliver their children because there's no options, really. And in that space, Jericho Road has a clinic, and they provide medical care to those who walk through their doors and support them and love for them and care for them. And we get to be a part of that through Heart Check as they rebuild communities. Peak Partner Missions and Storehouse Missions rebuild lives through medical care, education, and really challenging communities. I'm humbled. You know, when I look at this book and look at the ministries, I'm humbled by the opportunities we have to be engaged with our partners. And you know what I'm often struck with? They risk their lives to do what the Lord has called them to do. They sometimes spend all night in prayer interceding on behalf of someone they're ministering to or a people group or some way. They just fall to their knees all night long. I've heard about this. I'm not making it up. They just pray all night long for those who they are caring for and who are troubled and are being destroyed by the world. They intercede deeply. And they stay in difficult situations. When they can leave, they don't. And all of that makes me ask myself, have I ever risked my life to minister to other people? Ask yourself the same question. Have you ever put your life on the line so that somebody can know Jesus? Not just will somebody make fun of you or give you a hard time. Have you ever risked death so somebody can know Jesus? Have you ever spent all night on your knees just sobbing because you realize this group of people who's far from God is just going to, they're destined for disaster unless God does something? You ever spent all night praying and sobbing and fasting over a people group? When you are in the face of opposition that is very personal and very hurtful, are you ready to stand firm or do you run the other way? That's why I love our partner ministries that we support through Heart Check. No matter what the obstacle is, they're in some of the darkest, deepest, ugliest places and they keep going. It just blows my mind. In Nehemiah's case, the walls were finished, but the work wasn't yet complete. Nehemiah continues, now the city was large and spacious, but there were few people in it, and the houses had not yet been rebuilt, so my God put it into my heart to assemble the nobles, the officials, and the common people for registration by families. I found the genealogical record of those who had been the first to return. It's really interesting that throughout the book of Nehemiah, he speaks of the people regularly, and the nobles, the officials, and then the common people, the commoners. the ones who really don't have any status, but yet did the bulk of the work. But Nehemiah constantly gathers these people because he was aware of a simple truth. When God moves, he uses people. It's the same throughout history. When God does something great, he often does it through and with people. Now, does he need people? Does he need to use us? No, he can snap his fingers and everything will go the way he wants. But he chooses to use people like you and me to do his work. He chooses to use our partner ministries to make a difference in the countries or the locations they're in. He chooses us here at Revive to be able to support them, to pray for them, to go and give so that they can continue the ministry that God has called them to. In other words, you matter. You matter. Sometimes we go through life thinking God can do it without me, but that is not the case. He could do it without you, but he chooses to use you because people matter. In the book of Nehemiah, he goes on to list the families, the descendants from whom built the wall. So he lists the men of Israel and descendants of those people. I just want to highlight a few of these because it's really interesting. If you look at Pahath Moab, he had 2,818 descendants help rebuild the wall. That family was the most represented in the project. Then you get down to Asgad. I wish my last name was Asgad. That just sounds... There were 2,322 people from that family. Then you get down to Gideon. What's up, Gideon? 95? People matter. Your family matters. God works through each and every one of us. And I want to do a simple thing. This could go really well or really poorly. I want you to identify, you know, your last name, your family name. And on the count of three, I want all of us to shout our family names. This is going to be great. I'm going to hear all of them. All right, so here we go. If you don't know your name, ask your neighbor. They'll tell you what your last name is. You might need to do that. But on the count of three, let's shout our last names. One, two, three. That was wonderful. And you all matter to God. Each and every one of you, each and every family, each and every person in this room, we all have a role to play. And then Nehemiah goes on to list the towns and the people that came from various towns around the area to participate. And he kept this really incredible records. And all these people are recorded in the Bible. So it really means something. And it's a chance for us to see that God really values people and that he works through each of us. And this shows us that communities matter. My family, we live in the small community of North Boston, New York. Did you know that North Boston has a population of 2,554? Sounds like most of us are here. North Boston matters to God. You know, Hamburg, the community that this campus and Bayview are located in, has a population of just over 60,000 people. Hamburg matters to God. It's the largest community we have a campus in, and Hamburg matters to God. The community you live in is likely somewhere between North Boston and Hamburg in size of population. Your community matters to God. Each and every person matters to God. We have five campuses. Some are small, some are larger, but they all matter in the eyes of God. We matter and we all have a role to play. You matter and you have a role to play when it comes to reaching our community with the gospel. You have a role to play when it comes to changing the structures, the unjust structures in our community. You have a role to play. You have a role to play when we support our Heart Check partners through prayer, from going and giving. We all have a role to play. And although one's gift may be small and another's gift may be large, they all add up to this incredible place where we can make a difference in the world. That's what I want for us as a church. I don't want to just attend whichever campus you attend on a Sunday and call it good. Your faith matters to the people in your world, and you matter, and we have an opportunity to change our society just like Nehemiah did. Do you realize that our church, Revive Wesleyan, was a plant of Orchard Park Wesleyan decades ago? Orchard Park saw a need over in Hamburg, so they planted a Bible study, which grew into a church and became the church we are today. I saw Pastor Greg. Some of you know Pastor Greg. He was here for 38 years in this role. And Greg, we're standing on his 38 years of ministry. And because of the things he did and the ways he prayed and the ways he taught, we are standing and able to do the things we do today. It's just the way it is. In the same way the things the church did 38 years ago when Greg took over and throughout his ministry mattered, what we do matters today. But it also matters tomorrow, and it matters for the next 100 years and on into eternity. How we live and what we do matters, and we can have an impact revive. This part is really really something we can't ignore. When we come together and we all pray in the same direction, or we all go and serve with a given ministry, or we give financially, we change lives. Now let me qualify that. God changes lives through what we do. So don't hear me wrong. But through the prayers of his people, through the going and serving and linking up with those who are doing hard work, and through our giving, we have the potential to impact thousands of people as God enables us. Why do we do Heart Check? Well, that's why we do Heart Check. When God moves, he uses our gifts. When God moves, he uses our gifts. And it continues in Nehemiah. Some of the heads of the families contributed to the work. The governor gave to the treasury 1,000 dirhams of gold and 50 bowls and 530 garments for the priests. Some of the heads of the families gave to the treasury for the work 20,000 dirhams of gold and 2,200 minas of silver. The total given by the rest of the people was 20,000 dirhams of gold, 2,000 minas of silver, and 67 garments. I did some simple math, and as you can check this when you get home, but that's over $20 million in gold. It's over $2.2 million in silver by today's standards. The people gave above and beyond to see this work prosper, to rebuild the lives of the Jewish people, to rebuild their society. They gave above and beyond. And as they did, they saw the results of their labor. Some gave a lot. Some had a lot to give. Some gave a little because they just didn't have a whole lot to give. But each of their gifts mattered. It mattered. We've been doing Heart Check a long time. If you're new to our church, we've done this for decades. My wife and I have given financially to every Heart Check our church has done. We've felt compelled to give financially to each and every Heart Check that has happened at this place. Do I regret any of it? Absolutely not. Do I want any of it back? Anything I would have bought with that money would probably be long gone by now. But as we have given to Heart Check, we've made an investment to rebuild lives over and over and over again. And the return on that is far better than anything you could spend your money on. It's far better. The people in Nehemiah's day gave because they wanted to join the movement that was undeniably God. They saw God moving, and they said, we have to keep heading in this direction, because if we don't, God's working. In the same way here, as we give to Heart Check, we're giving to a movement of God that will rebuild lives, that will help people get out of the situation they're in, and hopefully in the process of that, they meet and respond to the gospel message, and their eternity is changed. Why do we do heart check every year? That's why. Because it's real easy to get focused on things around here and not pick our heads up and see what's going on in the rest of the world. And through heart check, we do fund community ministry and community initiatives. So we're impacting our community, our region, and the world. The people in Nehemiah's day committed to pray. They committed to go. And they committed to give. I just love that picture. You know, I like to think future. I like to think a year from now. Some of you haven't thought past next week, but a year from now when we do heart check again, I can't wait to be in this place or at your campus celebrating how God used our faithfulness through giving to heart check this year. I can't wait to celebrate and hear how he has answered the prayers of many of you as you have bathed our partner ministries in prayer. I can't wait to hear how, because you have gone and served either in the city, in the community, or globally, how God has used that to introduce new people to Jesus or to give them a cup of water. I can't wait to celebrate those things when we gather again. You've heard us talk a lot about this at each campus. This year, through Heart Check Moved, our goal is $800,000. $800,000 that will impact our world. $800,000 that will help women and children in Buffalo, will serve those globally, who will help children in Lebanon to meet Jesus. $800,000 that if we kept it for ourselves, would never have such grand a result. But we don't only want to raise money. We want you to commit to pray. And this, I'm gonna say boldly, pray daily for our partner ministries. If you have one of these books, maybe you just work through it every day. You pray for 716, 8 Days of Hope, PATH. And you just work your way through, and our missionaries, our legacy partners, and all we're doing, and you just read, and you go on their websites, and you learn about them so your prayers can be informed, but you pray. If all roughly 1,800 people who attend Revive committed to prayer, do you know what would happen? We would unleash a move of God unlike the which many of us have ever seen as we fall to our knees and pray. And some of you, God's tapping you on the shoulder right now and you want to tell him no, because he's asking you to go, to give up your time, to give up a portion of your day, your week, your month, or your year to go serve alongside one of our partner ministries in the city, in the community, or maybe get on an airplane and go somewhere else. He's asked, you feel it. Some of you are like, oh, now he's identified it. Some of the greatest experiences I've had as I've traveled or served in the city or here in the community, because when you serve in that capacity, I believe you start to feel contentment because you've done what God has called you to do. So some of you received these in the mail. Some of you got them as you walked in the room today, and they're in the lobby if you don't have one yet. But this is what I'm going to ask. That if you haven't already, you will fill this out and write, you know, pray, go, give, check, and fill that out. If you've done this online, just write on the card online, because in a moment we're going to have people with baskets around the room where we can come up and physically make our commitments as a celebration of what the Lord is doing. But as we endeavor to pray, go, and give, let this be an opportunity where we do just that. Just a special note, the QR code on here, it doesn't work. It's funny the way that happens. But if you go to our website, you can find everything that this just brings you to our website. So you can circumvent the QR code altogether and go directly to the website and do the same thing. But however you choose to do that, we're going to have a time right now where we make our commitments. Whether you hand in a card that says online or you hand in the actual card, we're going to commit to pray, go, and give as we see God work. If the ushers who are holding the baskets, if you would take your spots. believe there's 7 or 8 folks, maybe 9. There's 9 folks around the room with baskets. After I pray and we'll be singing a song, you can place your commitment card in the basket. And we'll do this together. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time together today where we can be in your presence and worship, where we can think about Nehemiah's life and how he prayed, he went, he served in the face of opposition, and the people gave and responded and they worked. Lord, help us to learn from this story of the scriptures. Not only to learn from it, but to implement it in our own lives so that we may be the ones who do similar things to what Nehemiah and his band did. So Lord, as we have this time of commitment, I pray that we would feel the presence of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, guide our hearts and our minds and our commitments and all that happens in this space. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. As the song begins, you feel free to come put your card in one of the baskets.